Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Then had a little sneeze action going on right before we went on there. Nobody heard it though, right?
It's called a cough button, not a sneeze.
Yes, and
button.
I used it. All right, thanks for joining us back here, everybody, for the last 25 minutes of the Today's Issues program. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So you and I were talking in the hall. I mentioned last hour, Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
Especially our baby boomer audience will recognize that name. He passed away at 90.
At 90 years old, he did. The Brewers put an announcement out, very heartfelt. It's tragic passing for them. He was not only a great player for them, he was their voice, their
radio voice
for years. It was kind of like the soundtrack of summer. He was hilarious. And this is as much for Wesley as it is for anybody else, because those that don't know Bob Uecker, this is a little taste of Bob Uecker. This is him at his Hall of Fame. And by the way, he's a great player in the Hall of Fame. This is him at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. This is part of his speech, cut 16.
During every player's career, there comes a time when you know that your services are no longer required, that you might be moving on, traded, sold, released, whatever it may be. And having been with four clubs, I picked up a few of these tips. I remember Gene Mauch doing things to me at Philadelphia. Oh, I'd be sitting there and he'd say, grab a bat and stop this rally. Send me up there without a bat and tell me to try for a walk. Look down at the third base coach for a sign and have him turn his back on you. But you know what? Things like that never bothered me. I've set records that will never be equal. 90% I hope are never printed. 200 lifetime batting average in the major leagues, which tied me with another sports great, averaging 200 or better for a 10-year period. Don Carter, one of our top bowlers. In 1967, I set a major league record for pass balls. And I did that without playing every game. With people like Necro, and this was another thing that I found the easy way out to catch a knuckleball, was to wait until it stopped rolling and then just pick it up.
By the way, he made the Hall of Fame, I think, as a broadcaster.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, because he's joking there about he was right. His lifetime batting average. He did play in the major leagues. You got to give him that. Not everybody's able to get to the major leagues, but his batting average was 200, which is not going to get you in the Hall of Fame. But a funny, funny guy there.
Yeah, hilarious.
But we're not going to play a beer commercial here on AFR, but many people remember that commercial from the 70s for Miller Lite. When
I
must be in the front row. All right, so anyway, that's Bob Uecker there passed away. By the way, he won a World Series with the Cardinals in 1964. I didn't realize
he was joking when he was up there. He says, I won the World Series for the Cardinals in 1964.
Bob Gibson had nothing to do with it. It was Bob Uecker, right? Bob Uecker was the one.
Right.
All right, what's your first story for us?
Hey, I'd like to go back. We've been talking a little bit about what's going on in the fire zone in L.A. There are currently four or five. Let me see. They got five active fires. They are in order of size. The Palisades Fire, which is burned 23,700 acres, and it's only 22% contained. It started on the 7th, so it's been going for like a week. Same day, there's the Eaton Fire that's 55% contained. It's burned 14,000 acres. Then the Hearst Fire is 98% contained, smaller fire, 800 acres. And then the Otto Fire is 85% contained, and it's only burned 61 acres, but they are having a terrible time down there. We talked yesterday a little bit about the trouble that Gavin Newsom was having. He was being recalled. He is being recalled. And I wanted to tell you, to play a couple things for you to tell you why he's being recalled. This is a whistleblower by the name of, let me give it to you, by the name of Daniela Bloom. And this is what she witnessed. This is her on the recall. Cut nine.
He has 20% approval rating and a whole lot of motivation from everyone, including fed up, angry Hollywood Democrats. We have the motivation, and we're hoping that we can collect those 1.4 million signatures that we need, and we can recall him as early as August 1st. Maybe it does take the burning of their own homes to call out the incompetency, because I've seen staunch Democrats go off on Newsom, a day I never thought I would see.
So that's the recall effort, and they say they might have a chance at this one.
Is this the version, forgive my ignorance here, but is this like a version of impeaching him?
Yeah,
recall. The same thing?
Well, impeaching is a political process by where you're kicked out of office by the legislative body.
But having him removed.
A recall is taking a vote. They're putting a ballot together, a special election together, collecting signatures, and hoping that enough Californians vote to remove him from office.
Before he's has an opportunity. When is he go? When's he going to be? When's the nomination for him to be reelected? When's that? Any idea?
Uh-uh.
I mean, no, I don't know off the top of my head.
He went through a recall back in the last couple of years, though.
Yeah, he did, and he lost to Larry Elders.
Yeah.
Lost to Larry Elders?
Larry Elders. In fact, the lady that you just heard was on Larry Elders' election team.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He won.
Oh, sorry.
Newsom won.
I'm sorry, but he lost. You're right.
Larry Elders lost.
That's right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Thanks for the correction.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the things that they're upset about. This is a lady named Avery Warwick, who's a whistleblower and a citizen journalist. And I think we can assume that what she's saying is accurate, because Elon Musk actually reposted this very video. I want you to hear, you might have heard that Elon sent a bunch of his electric trucks in there with his Starlink internet connectors, because they were having trouble with the internet connections in the fire zone. Towers had burned down, so he was going to help. And this is what Avery Warwick says happened. Cut 10.
The firefighters that I spoke with told me that Gavin Newsom directed the removal of Elon Musk from the command post where he was live streaming with that battalion chief. Gavin Newsom told him to leave, kicked Elon out for trying to help. It doesn't end there. Gavin Newsom also ordered the Cal Fire firefighters to return and not accept the donated Starlinks by order of the governor. Now, I've been told by firefighters on the ground that Starlink has directly impacted the success of fighting these fires through improving communication methods. I'm sure we've all seen by now that Gavin has posted Elon Musk's lies exposed by firefighters on the ground. Leave it to Gavin to politicize a tragedy and attack the man that was trying to help.
Yeah, that's the guy that the Democrats think they might want to put up for president later.
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not now.
I don't think so before now, but certainly not now after what's happened to California. Let me ask you this, Steve. What's the bottom line failure in the eyes of many people against Gavin Newsom? Because, okay, I'm just going to play, I don't know if you call it. Can you do devil's advocate on Christian radio, Fred?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to play. I'll give the opposing view.
All right.
I'm just asking.
People are wondering why you playing devil's advocate against the devil, Gavin Newsom himself.
You know, Westy, that's why I hesitated here. I didn't want too much devil here on the radio. Too many devils.
That's right.
So my question is, how are forest fires the fault of the governor? I mean, he doesn't control nature.
Well, no, but he does control how the state is managed as far as like forest management. It's his call. His environmental global warming fixation has got to the point where he was not allowing the underbrush to be cleared. He was diverting water that should have been down in Los Angeles, and they drained it out into the Pacific.
Why?
Well, to save an endangered fish.
Did they save it?
I don't know. It's
what's the name of that fish?
Probably burned up now. The Delta smelt.
The Delta smelt.
I don't even know if it's edible or what, but it was endangered. Anyway, it's those kind of policies. Plus, he was already on the way out. When you remember the French Laundry incident? The French Laundry is a very expensive restaurant up in the North Bay area, like the wine country. And during COVID, he confined everybody to their house, closed all of the churches and all this kind of stuff. And somebody caught him at a party at the French Laundry.
Mm-hmm. With no mask.
With no mask. When everybody was supposed to be sheltering in place, he was out partying at the so the rules.
Well, was he reelected since then?
He might have been, but this is the thing. California is so deep blue, they have kind of got addicted to voting D no matter what. I'm hearing that now with the fires and this accumulation of everything, there might be a chance that California starts trending purple.
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well.
So let me comment a little bit on your question.
I've been wrong before, so go ahead.
And that is that, back to your question about what does a governor have to do with a wildfire? So the first layer to this is in the event that a wildfire does happen and you go to a fire hydrant and you plug up your hose and you start spraying water and put it out, then there's no problem here. There's none. It's when you go to the fire hydrant and you plug it up and there's no water, then you have to start asking the question, would this fire hydrant was supposed to stop this fire? This is as simple as it gets. And then you go, okay, where's the water? And then you start backtracking. That's how you get there. Because I'm with you on day one. I thought it was too early to make this political. Way too early. I mean, we're not even
right,
6 hours.
Right, right.
I was against the Republican side of making this political right, 6 hours
right,
in.
Right.
What are we, 5 days in now? 6 days?
No, a week.
A week. Yeah. So we're 7 days in. While the fires are no more better off today than they were then.
A little bit.
A little bit, but you're starting now. 7 days in, you're starting to go, okay, why is it not? And then you start backtracking, and a lot of it has to do with his policies and Bass. What was her
name? Mayor
Karen Bass.
Karen Bass, the mayor.
Mayor of.
She's the one that
fire department themselves. We got a lot of issues.
Yeah, she cut the budget of the fire department right before this, and she was warned that this was coming.
Sure she was, and so was the insurance companies. Which is, I say, warned. They had.
Yeah, they were not renewing policies.
And why is that?
Because
they're following the
policies. Because it was high risk for their company to insure these people.
Go broke.
Yeah. So, anyways, I hope that.
Yeah, I understand.
You got to go back to the forest management issue. Mm-hmm. The forest management. There is a reason why the underbrush. I've noticed in our general area here, we have something called the Natchez Trace. That goes through Mississippi.
The Parkway,
Federal Parkway.
Right.
One of the things that they'll do occasionally is burn the underbrush.
Right.
If you look off that parkway, they'll burn that underbrush. Why are they doing that?
Every year they do that.
Yes. Because if somebody throws a match,
right,
the whole forest around the parkway goes up, which is the point that Donald Trump has made with Newsom, and Newsom argued back and forth, you're not going to tell us what to do. There may be lawsuits now based on the fact that Newsom deliberately did not allow the removal of that underbrush, which has allowed these fires to occur again.
In the name of what, though? Would he deny that?
Well, because if he had followed that policy, which many have recommended, you would not probably have the extent of the fires that we have seen.
And why didn't he do it? Because of... It's an environmental thing again. I think it was probably the carbon footprint of doing it. I'm not sure exactly
climate
why.
Change,
but this is exactly they had about two, three years ago, the Paradise Fire, which is a Northern California town in the mountains. The town was decimated, just destroyed by fire. And there was a whole bunch of pictures and videos of people escaping, barely escaping with their lives and everything. And again, it was 3 years, 2 years ago, and the same concern. So they've known. It's not like this is new.
Well, and to your point, they're called either prescribed fires or controlled fires.
Yes.
These are purposeful fires. You know, in addition to this, now they do it primarily for what you mentioned. You know, there's another benefit to this. They get to practice.
Yeah.
They get to take their skills that they've worked mm-hmm. on, and they get to put it into play. And they have to work through communications.
Mm-hmm.
They have to work through making sure that they can get water to where it needs to be. There's a lot of things that they get to practice, but they get to do it at their own pace so they can learn. So there's many good reasons for this.
Well, what we're talking about here is
the disaster. In California.
Yeah, there are some people who are blaming the politicians in California and in particular the Los Angeles area, namely the mayor there.
To be clear, they didn't light the match. They didn't start
fire. And just to be clear, too, I understand they were 6 months without rain.
Yeah.
And so you had a tinder box already.
Sure.
And
which
made it worse. But you're right. I want to know why they didn't have the water to fight the fire. And from what we hear was the reservoir, which was supposed to have the water for the people to fight the fires in the firefighters in Palisades, which is still the major fire.
Yeah.
They didn't have access to it.
Right.
The water wasn't there because it wasn't in the reservoir. Why wasn't it in the reservoir? So that's an answer that politicians have to answer.
Yeah, no.
And then secondly, the mayor of Los Angeles initiated cuts in the fire department budget. And listen, mayors, they have to make calls, Democrat or Republican, they have to make calls on what to prioritize. They're not like the federal government where you have an endless, you can go print money in a city like Los Angeles. You have a limited amount of funds that you have to delegate for various and different agencies, right? Now, Los Angeles, second largest city in America. So that's an enormous responsibility. So she decided, the mayor Bass, to cut the fire department instead of some other agency, and the fire department warned, this is putting people at risk because we can't respond if you're going to cut our budget,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the criticism that's coming her way right now, because she did cut the budget, and there was a massive fire, and they're saying, I told you so. So anyway, also, she was out of the country when all this started happening, and that didn't look good either.
I see what you're saying, though. I kind of tend to lean toward Steve on turning purple. You say hard no. Here's the issue, and amongst all of this, the country as a whole, including comparatively speaking, a lot on the West Coast are over the DEI woke stuff, and that was also a big contributing. That's
also
a big
sure.
problem in their fire department ads for yeah. LA. I mean, we played this week.
Yeah.
I do think there are some things that they're saying. Even your left people are saying, I don't care how tall, short, what color your skin is. Can you put out a fire? But
yeah.
they've got, and all this stuff's coming back up. It may not have been a problem at the time, but it's definitely.
Yeah, but liberalism is a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you get counseling and therapy, it's hard to break people of voting for the blue, the Democrats. In California, it's a 60-40 favor of Democrats. We'll see.
Although,
we'll see.
California did go 9 points to the right.
During the last election.
The last election.
Yeah, that's
they
a,
didn't.
We'll see whether that's a trend.
Republicans did win, but
or
gained.
Or a one-off. It's also the land of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
As a U.S. senator.
Well, and you know, I'm kind of backtracking now. They've also lost a lot of influential conservatives that were there, too.
Right,
five, 4 or 5 years.
A lot of people have left California because of the liberal insanity.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I know people personally. People listening to me.
My
know
family.
People, your family, yeah. They left. I mean, it got so crazy and insane that people left. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's your next story?
We've been talking for a bit about the COVID vaccine and the possible side effects. This untested mRNA shot that is not like a regular vaccine that introduces a little bit of the disease and gets your immune system going. This actually rewrites some of your RNA, messenger RNA, and it introduces the spike protein. There have been reports, and the government denied it for a long time, but now it's becoming almost impossible to ignore. You remember we talked a little while back about the Los Angeles Times deciding not to endorse a candidate. Now, how does this relate? The owner of the Los Angeles Times is a man named Patrick Soon-Shiong. He not only is a billionaire that owns the New York Times, he is a renowned transplant surgeon. And I want to play you what he had to say, what he is noticing in his practice that he says is very unusual. Cut 12.
So this idea of the effectiveness and safety of the vaccines is real science. We need to talk about it. And guess what? Not only are we going to have two big crises about the recovery of California over the next decade, but we're going to have to address the rising incidence of cancer. For the first time in my career, I've seen an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old with colon cancer. The first time in my career, I have had a 13-year-old child in our clinic die of metastatic pancreatic cancer. We have to face this effectiveness and face reality. The good news is that we can do something about it. The good news now, there are effective therapies because we understand the science in such an immense way.
So you know,
it's interesting. He used the phrase, we have to face reality.
Yeah.
That's what's going on in this
what's
country.
What are you saying? The COVID vaccines cause cancer in children? That's is that what he's saying?
Colon cancer in 8- and 9-year-olds. Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
That's
seriously?
What he's saying.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Pancreatic cancer
in a 13-year-old.
What's his profession?
He's a transplant surgeon.
Oh.
From where?
California?
He's from Asia, where he's practicing. In Southern California.
He owns the LA Times newspaper.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh.
Which is the largest newspaper.
There's some credibility there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a businessman. He's not a far lefty. But he's a practicing surgeon, and him to say that like you did. By vaccines, he's talking about the COVID vaccine?
He's talking about the COVID vaccine specifically. And there's been a number of studies that have not obviously gotten the press coverage that they should. I'm in contact fairly often for AFN with a doctor that is kind of on this bandwagon. He's been warning about this for quite a while, Peter McCullough.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, Dr. Peter McCullough. We've had him on our program.
Right, right.
Well, we don't have time to revisit this much, but there was no reason to give children vaccines for COVID.
I certainly don't have time to revisit this.
No, we can go on and on and get Wesley wound up here. we won't get a word in edgewise. We only got a minute to go here on the show.
I'm more of an expert on the mask situation. We could talk vaccines, but I'm your mask guy.
The mask. Yeah, yeah.
If I have to pick one of the three problems here.
We can live through Wes. We can talk to Wesley about his adventures with masks.
Yeah.
The fact that
I was a Black Row Regiment mask man.
Yes. Meaning you never wore one. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Wesley and to Fred and to Brent Creeley, our producer, Chris Woodward. No, Chris Woodward's our producer. And then let's see who else.
No, Brent's our producer.
My bad.
I got you.
Brent Creeley's our producer. Chris Woodward was on earlier. And
from the news side.
Jan Markell.
Van Steiner.
Van Steiner. You know, I'm going to quit trying to remember all these people. I'm just going to say, whoever was on the show today, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
That'll work. We'll see you next time. Trivia Friday tomorrow.